Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Riesling and Raven. So I just got a new mic set up and I'm super excited to try it out. So today's episode shall be another list because I'm on a list kick right now. Y'all have no idea. So today I shall be counting down my top 10 drag items. Things that I basically cannot live without, and I cannot do my drag without these 10 items. And just like every good face, you need to start with a good base. Hello, hello, hello! Just wanted to give a quick shout out to my first Patreon patron, Robin Fisher. Thank you so much for signing up. It means the world, especially from the amount of times that I like come into your work and like look for you specifically just to like gab. It means so much. So thank you so much. And if you guys want to join the exclusive Patreon family, you can find me at patreon.com/ravenessclaw. That is patreon.com/ravenessclaw. So let's get back to the podcast. Okay, so first thing that I cannot live without is a primer. And a good primer, which is the Tatcha Silk Canvas. Now, when I started doing drag, I used to use a primer from a brand called Gosh, but they have been discontinued and I'm super upset about it because Gosh was so good. Their foundation primer was the best for my skin, but it's gone now. I'm so upset. But I found a new primer. Actually, technically, I use two. I use like four. But the two that I can't live without primer-wise is the Tatcha Silk Canvas and the Milk Hydro Grip. Oh, that is so good. Usually, I'll do a bit of the Milk Hydro Grip in my dry areas, which is my T-zone. And then I'll go over the T-zone and my eyes with the Tatcha Silk Canvas, and then I'll do a little bit more Hydro Grip over the rest of my face. So my dry areas get a good boost of hydration. The Tatcha Silk Canvas blurs my pores, and then to really grip onto the foundation, I use a bit more of the Milk Hydro Grip and put that over top. And it just leaves the best base for my face. It is the best combination for me, and yeah, it may be a bit expensive because all these products are mostly from Sephora, but like, they are phenomenal since I started using them, and honestly, I found some dupes. Like, there are a couple things that I found that are cheaper dupes, like the Elf Putty Poreless Primer is kind of like a Tatcha budget-friendly dupe. And I think it was the Hard Candy Hydrating Long Wear Makeup Grip primer. I have both of those as well, because if I don't have any more Hydro Grip or Tatcha left, I'll dip into one of those. Or if I'm doing something on a live stream where the camera quality kind of isn't the greatest and I can kind of get away with using a cheaper product, I'll use the Poreless Putty Filler and the Long Wear Hard Candy Primer. But if I'm going out and doing a show, or if I'm doing a actual high definition recorded video, then I dip into my Tatcha and my Milk, because those products are just everything. The next product that I cannot live without, drag related wise, is another makeup product, and it is more on the budget friendly side, and that is my Super Stay Foundation by Maybelline. It is pretty full coverage when I use it. I use a brush and it's Like, I used to use a beauty blender, which gave me a bit more of a flawless finish. But since using a brush, the brush sucks up, like, barely any of the product. And it just spreads it out more because I use a stippling motion rather than a swipe. And the Maybelline Superstay Foundation is phenomenal for that. It is a liquid pump glass bottle foundation. And the fact that there is a glass bottle pump foundation at like a Walmart or like a drugstore brand, it's shocking how good the product is for what you get. Like, you also get a fair amount of product too. You get a lot. So the Maybelline Superstay is definitely something that I cannot live without when it comes to my makeup specifically. The third thing on my list is a good eyeshadow palette. Now, I have been using an eyeshadow palette for... I've been using this specific eyeshadow palette for every single face that I have done since I bought the palette. The pigmentation is stunning, the blendability is amazing, and the brand is very well known. It is the Morphe palette. Now, Morphe has collabed with many makeup artists and entrepreneurs, and the one that I use so far is the Jeffree Star X Morphe palette. Now, I've hit pan on most of them, so I am ready to get a new one, but I'm not going to get another Jeffree Star palette. I am looking at, I believe it was the Nikita X Morphe palette. So I've used the Jeffree Star one. The colors were great. And so the next palette I'm going to get by Morphe is the X Nikita one. Now, the pans and the colors in there are stunning and very me. Like, there are some pans in there where it's not mixed and cohesive colors. Like, in a single pan, there are two colors that are sort of marbled, but they aren't blended. And I think that is super creative and fun. And just the look of it when you open the palette and you see those, like, marble pans is, like... It's super cool because when you run your brush or your finger in the pan, you still get both the colors. So you still get, like, the end result color that you would if it were to be fully mixed. But it's just an artistic liberty that I highly appreciate, especially when it comes to making palettes and coming up with something new and fresh. And the Nikita palette itself, again, has a lot of colors that I personally adore and love, and I am possibly tossing some ideas and some concepts around for potentially my own palette that would have colors that I use on a regular basis, not even just for drag, but like if I'm leaving the house and I want to do a fun eye, then I'll gravitate to specific colors. So I'm looking at possibly making a palette with those colors, which I'm very excited about. Financially, it's a rocky road, but I have the concepts, I have the colors, and the basic branding for it. The next thing I basically need to look into are formulas and finishes and the packaging sourcing. So if anybody has any connections or has information on outsourcing packaging stuff or product materials and whatnot, and would be willing to help me out, please shoot me a message on my Instagram or on my Facebook page. That would be greatly appreciated. I have a link in my bio that is a Insta link, and it has all of my social medias and whatnot on there. So if you can help a girl out, then definitely follow that. And the next item, item number 4 on my list. When I started drag, I didn't use this item. And for the longest time, my drag mother constantly harped on me saying, you need to use this. You have to do this. If you're not doing this or using this product, you're not doing drag. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I didn't start using this item until 3 years into my career. It's... let me think. It's 2020, 2013, 7. So I've been doing this for 7.5 years now. And so for 4.5 of these, I have been using this product, and that is lashes. It's a super simple thing, but when I started to wear lashes, it made all the world of a difference. Like, you can have a great face and everything, but if you're not wearing lashes, it's weird. I don't know how to describe it, but it looks unfinished. Once you pop a lash on, it just transforms the face completely. And I don't use, like, super expensive lashes. Like, I will not buy lashes from, like, MAC or Sephora or, like, any super high-end brand that makes lashes, because they're never big enough for drag. So I have a couple pairs that I alternate and I change throughout. The first pair of lashes I got were actually from my sister that she got from a photo shoot that she did, and they wing out on the outside, and those became a staple for me when I started to wear lashes, because it was drag enough, but it also was, I don't know, they weren't a standard drag lash. It was fun. And then after that, I got a pair of lashes. Some people are gonna hate me for this, but I got a pair of big black feather lashes from Dollar Store. Now I know so many people are like, ew, feather lashes, ew. And it's probably mostly propagated from like Katya and Katya's constant ranting about feather lashes and whatnot, but I love them on my face. Like, when I do a drag face and I pop on a feather lash, that is the Raven face. Like, when I'm wearing my big black, like, yeah, they're kind of spidery, but I love the separation and the magnitude of the length and just the, like, sheer size and proportion of them on my face. I just love my big black feather lashes. And I have been using the same. I've managed to make the same pair of Dollar Store feather lashes last 2 years now. And they are still going. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to buy a new pair this year because Dollar Store didn't have them in black. They only had them in ugly ass, like, pink and orange and blue, and those are just not my thing. But I need them in black, and they didn't have any, so now I gotta make this pair last another year until I see if I can manage to find another pair that I can replace these ones next year. So I gotta make these last. Another place that I find good drag size lashes are my local wig store. Now, not every place has a wig store, but this place is specifically like an African-owned hair salon and wig store. So they have products for like black, thick, kinky hair. They have good wigs. They have weaves. They have hair wefting for just sewing in extensions and whatnot. And they had lashes, and they were massive. And I bought a pair immediately because the pair that I found were only like $7 or $8. And they were good size. Like, I was surprised that a salon had this size of a lash. And so I picked it up right away. And then the last place where I can find lashes is my local dance store, which usually sold like a pair of 301 lashes for like $3. So I bought like 3-4 pairs. And I have a set of lashes now that are a stack of 3 lashes on both eyes. And that is now my classic quintessential. If I want to do high horror drag and look like a Priscilla Queen of the Desert or Tu Wong Fu 90s, early 2000s classic drag queen, then I'll wear my stack 301s. But
if I want to just be me and look like me, I'll wear my feather lashes because those are me and it's my thing. Now, before I started to wear lashes, I didn't wear lashes because I was like, oh, I don't need to wear lashes. It's not my brand. It's not my thing. Wear a lash. I don't know what you're doing, but if you're doing drag, female impersonation, and you're not wearing a lash, wear a lash. It makes all the difference and it just elevates it so much. I can't explain it enough, but like, you just need to wear a lash. And honestly, I'm very happy that I did buy lashes to wear because it elevated my level of drag so much. So yeah. And next item on my list, we are moving away from face and now we are moving on to hair products. And the first thing, obviously, is a lace front wig. Now, I can find decent, good quality lace front wigs from Amazon for like less than $70. Some of them less than 50, actually. If I really wanted to be stingy, I'd pay like less than 50 for a lace front off Amazon. And they're still good quality. I have like a copper red, like ginger wig lace front. And the quality when we got it was shocking because it was shockingly good. It wasn't like terrible. It was phenomenal. Like the fiber, feeling the hair fiber quality was so smooth and like it was shiny, but it wasn't plastic shiny. It was like healthy, fertile, very nice quality hair fibers. And it was just shocking that we managed to find one. It was me and my drag daughter. I ordered it and I had it shipped to my drag daughter because she had Amazon Prime. And I found one off there. Now I know, obviously, there are some conflicting things with people in buying stuff off Amazon and whatnot. But if you don't have a wig store or anything close to you that you can possibly shop at, you can find... I am so sorry. But you can find a good quality wig off of online Amazon. But there are also other websites you can find, like off of Bobby Pins or from Wigs by Vanity or Arda Wigs. So if you don't want to have to look at things from Amazon, then you do have other options for online shopping. They may not be as cheap or inexpensive as Amazon, but you still can find very good lace front wigs. And ever since I started wearing my lace front wigs, that's almost all I wear now. I don't wear hard fronts that don't have a bang. If I do wear a wig that has a bang, then I'll go for a hard front. If I'm wearing a lace front, if I wear a lace front, it isn't with the intention of having a bang with it. Like, if I'm wearing a bang that's gonna cover the hairline, then there's no point in me having a lace front. So if I have a hard front, then it's going to be a bang. So it'll cover the actual material underneath of the wig cap. Next item, hair related. What are you going to use to secure your wig onto your head with? Bobby pins. Always, always have bobby pins. Whether on you when you're at the show or like in general, just you need to have bobby pins will secure your like wigs down to your head along with wig glue or like wig adhesive or hair adhesive stuff. Because if you're going to be dancing around and moving a lot and whipping your hair and your head around, then definitely invest in bobby pins. And for my lace front wigs, next product I use, to get the lace to stay down, I don't use a weave adhesive or a wig adhesive. I could use spirit gum, but a product that I can use for different things is the Got to Be Freeze hairspray. Now, I'll use the Got to Be Freeze hairspray for not only just hairspraying the hair and catching all the flyaways and securing volume into the wig if it's teased. I also use the freeze hairspray on the hairline to get the lace to stay down. And I also, if I'm at the show and I just want a touch-up of setting spray on my hair or on my face and I don't have my setting spray, then I'll use the Got to Be Freeze hairspray on my face to keep my makeup from moving anywhere. Now, that might sound terrifying, but it works. It works, honestly. You can use that hairspray to get your lace to stay down, control your flyaways, freeze hair into place, and to, like, keep your makeup in place. It's a very universal item. Freeze hairspray from Got to Be. Amazing. It's a big, giant yellow can, and it looks like an air horn, but it's hairspray. I swear. Next item, moving away from hair now, and moving on to body and costuming. So, for body, wear a body. If you're doing female impersonation and whatnot, and you want that super sexy femme curvy figure, wear a body. I always wear a body now. I always wear either hips or my corset or both and boobs. Now, if I have an outfit that I made a while back ago and I bought new hips but I want to wear that old item, usually if it's a form-fitting outfit that doesn't have any stretch in it, I can't wear the new set of hips that I have. So I'll cinch very, very tightly and I will wear a belt to bring the material in so that it shows off the waist and the new figure, even though I don't have hips. Because sometimes I'll have an outfit that is too tight for the new set of hips. Or if I'm making a new outfit, I will make sure I size the patterns to the new hips. So if I want to wear something that I'm going to be dancing around in and is stretchy and will allow movement, then I won't worry so much about wearing the corset, but I will wear the massive hips to still give me a figure and a shape. Because if I'm going to move around, I want to be able to breathe, and a corset, in my experience, has not been the best option for me. So if I want to move around, I'll nix the corset, but I'll wear massive hips. And if I'm going to wear something that is slightly form-fitting and doesn't have give, and I made like a while back ago, and I know I'm not going to be dancing and moving around in it like an evening gown or a dress of some kind, then I'll cinch for the gods, I'll pop in some boobs, and I won't bother with the hips. Because the waist itself will still give me an hourglass-ish kind of figure. And then after that, speaking of different outfits, I cannot live without my sewing machine. I have been making almost every single thing I wear since I lived in Toronto, which was 2016. And that was 3 years into my career. So, oh no, that was 4 years ago. Yeah, Jesus. So yeah, 2016, when I moved to Toronto, was when I started to sew everything, because I went to theater school and I learned how to sew and I learned garment construction and fashion history, kind of. And that basically just sort of solidified the reason for me to make everything, because there's no point in me buying something off the rack when it's gonna look like something off the rack and something that was mass manufactured that other people have. Now I make everything I have, and I basically wear one-of-a-kind pieces now, which sets my drag apart again, because I design everything. I come up with, like, everything is made and measured to my shape. So I measure myself with the corset, with boobs, with hips on, and then I flat pattern draft, and I make all my garments. And I can't stand hand sewing for my life. Even buttons, I use my machine to attach buttons and whatnot, because it's just so much faster for me and a lot less painful on my fingers, especially when you're trying to go through thick fabric and you're trying to find the hole. it's not fun. So I use my machine for everything, for buttons, for sewing in general, for making buttonholes. And the only thing that I am missing sewing related is a serger. I really want a serger. Sergers are like the most amazing thing to elevate your costuming and your fashion construction that much more. I mean, you can always just do a hem, an easy hem, but the insides are always so weird. So serging makes the inside look just as clean as the outside. And I really want a serger. If anybody's selling a serger, please let me know. Follow the link in the bio. And now, on to the 10th item, the one thing that I have, the 10th item, it is the most, it is super versatile and very, very thrifty and crafty for drag queens around the world, and that is hot glue. A hot glue gun is a must when you create your own things and you make your own like accessories and stuff. The amount of hot glue that I go through when I make a crown, the last show I did was the Halloween show, and I made a spiderweb crown out of hot glue and red nail polish over top of it, because the red nail polish is flexible on the hot glue and gives a nice like reflective surface. So I made a blood red spiderweb crown out of hot glue, and I think I used like 30 sticks of hot glue on that thing. And then before that, a couple years back, I made a Snow Queen outfit, and I used the hot glue again for that, and it actually looked like icicles. And even before that, again, hot glue is so universal. You can make a garment with like hot glue, like example being, like, I don't use hot glue to make outfits. I sew. I like security and knowing that I'm not going to explode out of an outfit at any second, especially if it's a non-porous or non-fibrous material like nylon or spandex or some kind of neoprene. Sometimes hot glue won't actually soak into certain materials if it doesn't have big enough fibers, or if it's a non-woven. And an example of that would be like Ben de la Creme making her freaking Golden Girls inspired outfit, and she made it out of hot glue in desperation, making it look like it was made by arthritic hands out of hot glue. And I was like, that is iconic, making an outfit out of hot glue. But again, I'm not one for constructing full outfits with hot glue and fabric. I have used hot glue on outfits, like if I'm stoning something, or if I'm making like my ball gowns, and I do a ball gown that has like ruching in it or some kind of texturing, I will use hot glue sometimes. Other times I'll just actually sew a swing tack into the ruche itself. But some other times, if I'm just lazy and I want to get it done ASAP, then I'll just throw in a dab of hot glue, put the fabric on, let it drape. It looks just the same, but it may not be as secure as a swing tack. So hot glue has its limitations, but it is definitely a almost staple in drag careers, whether you are a drag queen, drag king, non-binary, club kid, everything. Hot glue is a very universal tool. And I probably wouldn't be able to do a lot of my accessories that I make without it. It is a very handy tool. But on the occasion, if I'm doing some like metal work and whatnot, I do know how to solder as well, so I can solder metal jewelry. But hot glue or super glue, nail glue. Nail glue is the other option. If you're in like at a show and you don't have a hot glue stick or a hot glue gun with you, and something pops and you don't have safety pins, you don't have a needle and thread, I usually like to bring a kit with me, so I'm always prepared for anything. But nail glue is the next best thing to save you if something breaks and you're at a show and you're about to go on and you need something quick, you need a quick fix, and you don't have anything else. Nail glue is basically super glue. It's a cyanoacrylate is the proper term for it. But Nail glue is another lifesaver for last minute stitch efforts. Literally stitch. But yeah, hot glue, sewing machine, body, aka like corset or hips and boobs, bobby pins, freeze hairspray from Got To Be, a lace front wig, lashes, a good eyeshadow palette, specifically from Morphe, a good full coverage budget conscious friendly foundation, and a good primer. Those are my top 10 items that I use on a regular basis. And if I didn't have any of these, I would probably be very, very, very upset and not want to do drag if I didn't. If I had a show coming up that I wanted to work towards and prep and do work on, but if I didn't have any of these items, I probably wouldn't even want to do it. I mean, if I didn't have any hairspray, I'd probably be able to, like, get past it. And, like, if I didn't have... No, yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, I'd probably need every single thing on there if I were to prep for a show coming up. But yeah, so those are my 10 items. If you are just starting drag, definitely go through that list. Look up, research, see what works for you, and go out there and be fabulous. All right, I'll see y'all later. I am contemplating on starting a new series on this channel, possibly a I Sing Through My Audition Rep book, which is basically a giant, giant binder I have full of sheet music for songs that I use when I'm auditioning for stuff for theater. And I'm contemplating on doing a 4 or 5 episode mini-series on here of me going through and actually singing through my rep book, because a lot of people don't know, I do sing, and obviously being a theater queen, I focus on musical theater. So, contemplating on that, so let me know what y'all think. Shoot me a message, Facebook, Instagram. You can find me on Patreon at patreon.com/ravenessclaw if you want to join the exclusive club. I'm always posting exclusive content, photos, music files on my Patreon. So if you want to see any behind the scenes and very, very exclusive content regarding my drag and whatnot, you can find me on Patreon, pick a tier, join the club. It's fun. We love each other. And I shall see y'all later. Well, not see, but here. Okay. Okay, bye.